Today's guest is Debbie Colburn from Calgary, and she makes my life look super boring. I tell you, she has done so many things. I talk about them at the very beginning, so I won't repeat them here, but she has such a vast array of experience and knowledge in so many different things, but she's really calls herself an adventurer, and her spirit is an adventuring spirit. She's curious. She's a continual learner. She's 65, and there is no stopping her. I don't even know what she's going to do next, but she's just very interesting and very high energy. Loved our conversation, and I loved what we talked about, this bounce back ability. She came up with this term, bounce back, and what it means. We talk about that. We talk about her podcast. She has a podcast that she's had for a couple of years, coming on a couple of years. She's like me. She had this idea and sat on it for a while, of just doing a podcast, but it's called Unshackle Your Life. And we didn't talk about it early on, but the conversation led to what she talked about in her first episode of her podcast. And at first she just referred the listeners to her podcast, but in our conversation, she revealed what her biggest failure in life has been, her biggest fear as well, a failure and a fear of people finding out what that was. And so it's really a fascinating conversation about accepting yourself and about embracing what you might deem as a failure, as a black sheep. She calls herself the black sheep of the family, but it's truly kind of a story of somebody who is just an adventurer in life and wants to help other people through those adventures and through her mistakes. So I hope that you find this inspiring and her being really vulnerable about her story to be very powerful. So with no further ado, here we go.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Debbie Colburn. And she lives in Canada, in Calgary. So it's so funny because there's Canadians, we're so much alike. I swear it's like, there's no difference. So I work with a lot of Canadians, but yes, I was so intrigued by the write-up that you sent me. And I was so excited. You know, I love to talk to my guests, but some of them get me more excited than others. And when I read your thing, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to her. But she describes herself as an adventurer, a former sports car racer, mountain climber. She loves going to third world countries. She's also a grandma, a mom of two and a grandma of four. She was an accountant for 25 years. Oh my gosh. How does that match up? It looks like crazy. And you are educated in kinesiology and you taught dogs, like you train dogs, and I love dogs. So, and then you have a podcast called Unshackle Your Life, which I love that topic. So we have so much to talk about. I don't even know how we're going to fit it all into what I usually try to do is 40 minutes. So welcome to the program.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here because this is what you're doing is amazing. Helping people to see what's more available in their life. and so on. So I'm excited to talk to you. Yeah, we could talk for hours.
Yes, maybe we do, we'll do it, split it in two parts. But yeah, and so that's one way of the things we were talking about before I hit record was you certainly are not your average or living a not your average life. And that's exactly who I want to bring on the podcast. So the other thing too, is I love you're the perfect age to inspire people because you really had some sort of kind of midlife switch at 58 and you can talk about that. I'd love to hear about that. Seems like you had a lot of like adventuring along the way, maybe a lot of pivots along the way in your life, but you're 65 now. And so, and you're still going strong. You're still learning new things. And that's one of the things you said you love to learn. So yeah. Why don't you just introduce yourself and talk a little bit about who Debbie is and what you love to do.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, I am the exact opposite of what people perceive someone at 65 to be. I flipped my life the opposite way around. And some people would say that that was incredibly irresponsible, but I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do. And I knew that somehow or other, I would figure stuff out. And by the time I was 65, I would kind of have all this stuff figured out. And I wouldn't be sitting here going, oh, now I'm retired. Now I can do what I want. So
wait, let me ask you, what made you think it was irresponsible? Like, so what was going through your mind when you turned 58 and you said, I'm going to do this. And by the time I'm 65, you know, so what was in your mind was telling you, or you, that what you were doing was irresponsible.
So let me back up. That thought, it's irresponsible, had been in my head from the time I was young. I knew way back when that I wanted what we call now a lifestyle business. I wanted to be able to work from anywhere in the world. I wanted to be able to work on my own schedule. And I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. Hello, stuck as a professional accountant. That flew in the wrong way. But I come from a family of academics, unionized academic teachers and professors who were pigeonholed into successful careers, but there was always someone telling them what to do.
And no flexibility.
And no flexibility.
Yeah. And my parents were teachers and my sister was a teacher. And you're like in that classroom and you can't even go to the bathroom.
You're on a watch. And I knew here. Now this is a thing, and I think people our age, sort of people from 50 to up into the 70s and 80s, missed that opportunity because we weren't talking about it back then of what values drive you.
Yes.
You know that there's something where you're going, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah. And when she said here, she held her chest, like, so her heart, she was pointing to her heart. So she was
Yeah, that's the
heart.
Left side. Yeah.
Yes.
There. And I didn't know what that was. I knew that when I was, and I've almost all my life been an entrepreneur, but as a consultant. So some people would say, well, you're still an employee and working for people and stuff, but not really. But any contracts that I had, it would be 18 months to 2 years because I knew that I would get bored. I was tired of doing the same thing. I needed to change the scenery. I needed this. And people would say, we just have to stick it out. Well, I couldn't because my body was saying, every 18 months, you need to get on a plane and you need to go to another country. You need to have a physical adventure. You need to challenge yourself. And if I didn't have that, I just felt like there was an entire block of cement on me. My productivity, everything fell off the scale.
When yeah, that probably goes to your desire because you say you're curious and you love to learn. So I found too, through my career, I would stay in a job in a company and I would get so bored after like the year mark, and then I would get promoted or I would change jobs. And so my longest stint was at one company for 13 years at AOL, but I was like promote the longest I worked in one job was like for 2 years. And so I think that just plays into that curiosity mindset and that, you know, adventure in you. So I have a question. How did you with two kids go places and travel like that?
The answer is I have a very supportive family and I have very independent children. And when I say go away, some people think, well, that's a 2-week vacation. Well, for me, it's a 5 and a 6 week climbing expedition. It's going away. It's not just, you know, out for a cruise and back.
So you would do these contract stints and then between them, you take this break. Ah, yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when there was a period of time where I was working as an employee, I got 3 weeks vacation, but I needed 5 and they couldn't figure out how to get the stuff that I normally did done when I was gone. It's like, duh, anybody could do this.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, that's crazy about, like, I don't even know what the Canadian rules are, but like in the US, you know, you get 2 weeks a year. And so you don't ever take them all at once. You know, you might take a long weekend here and there. Rarely did I take a full week. And oftentimes it was like, oh, we're going to go see the grandparents. Well, what kind of vacation is that? You know, it's kind of more of an obligation versus a vacation, you know? Yeah. And so like, and then Europeans have like these standard 6-week vacations. So it's like, it never made sense to me because I felt like just taking a week off was never enough to really break away and break that cycle of that mind that
what that I think work that's on. Fundamentally, that's the problem that the pandemic revealed, is that in these two countries, in Canada and the US in particular, is that people get 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks is supposed to support their health and well-being, as well as deal with doctor's appointments and all those other things. People never get a chance to actually heal themselves. And so they're now vulnerable. That's a whole other tangent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so whenever I did anything, I negotiated to be able to have at a minimum 4 weeks continual. But that there was always conflict with that. But I knew that I needed. And then one day at 55, I just said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I just literally walked away from the, let's call it the corporate world, because I was working with, not just as an accountant, I was working as a business consultant. And at that time I was climbing, I was racing. So when I say sports car racing, you follow Formula One at all?
Formula One,
IndyCar, well, anybody that I was in that world. I worked as a response person on the radio and so on. So anytime there were crashes, anything going on around the track, I was on the headset coordinating all the people around the track and dealing with the incidents hands-on. Plus I was actually racing myself.
And that was just a hobby, I guess, while you're working.
It was a hobby, but it also required time. So you talk about those weekends. So to go racing, it was 3 days of the weekend, because you've got to get the car there. You've got to get ready. You've got to, you know, anything could go on, but I needed that. And so on Thursday night, and you can imagine being in a busy corporate office saying, you know, at 4:30, I'm out of here. And everybody else going, well, we got this too. No, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I love that you said, we were talking beforehand, before we hit recording, you were talking about how you're just like a really strong, confident woman. And so sometimes that's intimidating to other women, but it's so interesting because I always like asked for and got what I wanted. And I think just a lot of people don't ask, but it's like, if you're valuable enough, then people will make allowances for you. And so I love how you also seems like it was a little bit of a passion. So you found a way to like really be ensconced in it, yeah, like, and still have, you know, this other life where you were, had a job and such, but spent your fun time doing that.
So yeah. I knew I couldn't find the words. I knew that my number one core value is variety and uncertainty. That makes me very much an anomaly.
Oh, you like uncertainty.
I love uncertainty. Things that are like the same old and stuff like that. It sucks the energy out of me. And we have something in common. You were with Beachbody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a long time. Yeah. And in July of 2014, that's where things started to change for me. Because I had 2011, I had built my big 7,000 square foot training facility for dogs. You know, I was working with high performance canine athletes and people competing at the world level and so on. And it was an easy business to build because I was in that industry in competitive dog agility. I'd been in the dog world all my life. And I knew the problem. You know, we talk about this all the time when you're starting a business and stuff. Know the problem, the real problem. The real problem was that we have all these people competing, but in Canada, we have winter and you can't do that outside in the snow. So they needed an indoor training facility that they could do. It was an easy thing.
So this was your, at 58 is when you decided to leave corporate world and do the dog training facility.
Yeah, it took a couple of years. I stopped, I walked away from everything. At 55, in April of 2009, I walked away from my corporate job right at the very beginning of hosting the National Agility Dog Championships, the largest one in the country. And I walked away from everything. I was living in a 17 square foot trailer with no washroom, no running water, no electricity, hosting as the person at the very top, hosting this 1,000 person event. And I went, I'm loving this. And that was my walk away. Mm-hmm. Then I moved and built this business, which was an easy build. It might sound, you know, 7,000 square feet is a big warehouse. It was an easy build because I knew the problem. I knew the problem intimately. I had connections and influence in the industry, but it was sucking the life out of me. So in July 2014, and this will sound really weird, sitting on the floor of the canine the rehabilitation therapist for my dog. So everything we can do with humans, we can do for dogs. So I'm sitting on the floor with her. She's doing acupuncture with the dogs. And she says to me, I have something you might be interested in. And I went, what? She said, well, I just joined this health and wellness company and it's online and you don't have to have any industry. And here's the thing. And so she pointed me to Arbonne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a consultant. 8 years later, I'm still a consultant. I don't have a team. I love the product. But what it did, she said the words, it's online. You can work it from anywhere. And I went, bingo. That's what I want. And while the model itself wasn't what I wanted, and that was in conflict with my variety and uncertainty, it introduced me more into the world of personal development. And yes. I went all in. I was in Las Vegas, not just at their conference, at industry conferences, all that sort of stuff. And I had already been doing that because I've been an athlete all my life, obviously. I've been doing sports psychology stuff all my life. So that just dialed it up and mm-hmm. started to connect me with the things that I really wanted.
You might have been at a couple of the places I went because they had nothing to do with Beachbody. They were just more of like online business and a lot of network marketers would go to them. But I went to a weekend where it was a Les Brown event.
Eric Warrig.
Yeah, and Les Brown. Yeah, and Les Brown got up and told my story on stage about my reconnecting with my now husband. Yeah, and yeah, so there was a couple events that I went to. One Richard Branson was at. I've always really loved and admired Richard Branson. So yeah, our paths probably did cross. That's crazy.
Right, and so that's some of the stuff that I think people need to understand that sometimes you go down into, you go and do these things, but there's a reason why you're doing them. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was my second network marketing company, done another one a long, long time ago. I knew the industry, I knew what was going on and so on, but all of the pieces and the links from that connected me to where I wanted to go. And it ruled out the fact that I knew I didn't want to do the same thing over and over.
Yeah. I have a question. Were you in the online space? Like the only reason I was online before I got into network marketing was to follow my kids, to like see what they were posting, just being the nosy mom, you know. Once they got independent and out from under my thumb, I was like, you got to see what they're doing. And it introduced me to the whole world of online business.
I was already thinking about it. I knew that what I wanted to do is I wanted to take what I was doing at the summit, my training facility, and I had a piece of it, which is canine conditioning, which is fitness for dogs. And I knew that because people were asking that I could do that online as an addition to my seminars that I was doing traveling around North America and so on. And it was a strange quirk of how things happened. As I was following a colleague of mine who was in the online space. She's one of the people that competes at the world level. She was in, I think two years ago, James's high-end mastermind. She was there for 1 year. She's one of the, not original, but almost original members of Jeff Walker's Plat Plus membership. She happens to be a friend of mine. I was watching one of her training videos, her dog training videos, and she mentioned, and this is all while I was sort of looking at things in the online space going, how do I figure this out? And in a random video on dog aggression, she says, my life changed when I met this person who is a longtime friend of mine. And there was a picture of Jeff Walker, who, for anybody who doesn't know him, is touted as the mastermind behind the launch is how we get our products out. Mm-hmm. And I went, you know what? I know that while she's an exceptional dog trainer, her number one skill, people would say, oh, that's not her idea. I created that or I did that. Her number one skill was taking someone else's idea and getting it to market under her own name. And I went, that's where I'm following. And I just followed the link.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I always tell people that, like, you know, be curious and follow what you're curious about and then find somebody that is doing what you want to do. And just like somebody that like you like their personality, that you connect with them. And, you know, we talk about James, you know, we both have James as a business coach. So that's how we met in that group. So, yeah. And that was him. And, you know, finding him I found his podcast, I heard his name and I just started following and liking what he had to say. He made me laugh. And so it's just following that person and learning from them. And online, I mean, the space online, I tell, you know, I just finished a free training and I said in it, we are at the most exciting time to be who we are. My parents could have never done what I do. And so I feel so lucky to be able to live in a world that allows us to connect with people all over the world through technology like we do and to build whatever we dream of. Really?
Yeah.
You know, you get this idea and you're like, ah, okay, I'm going to put it out in the world. And for somebody like you, who is not afraid of anything and likes that, what did you say it was? I'm losing the word of what you said it was, but you like that unknown, the unknown factor. Yeah.
Uncertain.
Yeah. You love uncertainty and that like you're born to be an entrepreneur in that case. Yeah. So you said, go ahead.
You said that I'm not afraid of anything, and I have to correct you.
Okay.
Because I am, because if we go back to my story, I had a story, a big, really bad mistake where I crossed an ethical line way back when I was 37, and I was terrified in everything I did that somebody would find out what I'd done. And I also knew that if I didn't address that issue, that I would never be able, I would be stuck living like less than an average life. So I had to actually address that. That's actually episode one of my podcast.
Okay. Awesome.
In there.
I'll have to go listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people may say, oh, that removes all credibility that she has, but that is actually how and what propelled me to get here, is understanding that the mistakes that we make, when we learn from them and figure out, that's what we need to figure out.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that this came up, because my assumption that because you like uncertainty, you're afraid of nothing is totally off base. And some of what we're afraid of can actually be in our past.
Yeah.
That we're really focused on, instead of let's stay in the present and what you can do now in the present. So that's really amazing. So talk to me about this bounce back ability. You wrote about that, and I really love that term.
Yeah, it's a term that I coined, because if we were here for a week, I could share so much of my story, but just give you a little bit of a tidbit. I broke my leg climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, and I still continued up and all the way down.
I was going to ask you, was it on the way up or the way down?
On the way up. Wow. on the way up. And so, you know, it's an internal thing. Bounce back ability is the ability to have the rug pulled out from underneath you, hit rock bottom. And I want to clarify, because rock bottom for everybody is very different. For me, rock bottom is a really, 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 but for some people, rock bottom could be, I just lost my boyfriend. And some of us would go, oh my God, get over it. But that could be just everything collapsed. But so many people, and particularly people of our age group, something happens to them and then they give up. And it's because they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but they also can't start feeling the sides of the tunnel to try and figure out how to get forward, because bounce back ability is a skill. You can train yourself to be able to bounce back, and it's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's not always a straight line back up. A lot of the time, bounce back ability is you hit rock, what you think is rock bottom, you start climbing back up, and then you go down, and then you might go down even further than you were before. But if you look at it over a longer span of time, the projection is like this.
Yeah, I think with our age group too, bouncing back, it's not looked at as a quick, like you said. And so a lot of the mindset is, well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to bounce back. So why even try? So I think that's one thing. And some of the rock bottoms for our age group, and I see this a lot with my students, is loss of a parent, loss of even children. As your children grow to adults, and more can happen, loss of a spouse. So, you know, it's like completely changing their lives as they knew it. If a lot of people are close with their parents still. And some of them are even caregivers. And so it totally changes their life if they've been caregiving for the past X number of years. So, yeah. So I love that because I think you just need to feel a bounce up. And once you feel it, that gives you hope.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the key is hope and belief. Some people don't really get what belief is, and belief, you don't need to be able to, in my mind, you don't need to be able to state all the words. I have always believed, one of the questions you had asked is, I have always believed that I would be able to figure out the money thing. And the money thing is the trend. That's what I coach on. And it's also been my biggest challenge. And that comes from way back in my thinking. And for people in this, again, from that 50 to 80 bracket, we have an additional challenge is that, you know, people will say, well, the world has changed, but they actually don't understand that the world fundamentally changed. 1972, the gold standard disappeared. And what we heard around the dinner table where, you know, there's not enough money. Money was a physical thing. Money isn't a physical thing anymore. You just press a button and a computer generates, and now there's an extra $1 billion. That changes your thinking. So they're trying to operate in a world where the world isn't exactly the same as it was. Things just don't work. You know, people talk about the 40-40-40. You know, you go and get that job only keep it. Well, you'll be lucky if you have a job 2 years from now, if you even have a job. So it's they're looking at when they get to that point where they're rock bottom, they're trying to deal with it with a thinking that doesn't work in this world anymore.
Mm. And the sad and they're part resistant. They feel a lot of resistance to what it is now. Yeah.
Right. And they're surrounded by people who also think the same way. So for me, one of the things I'm learning right now is crypto and Web3. Because I want to be there.
Yeah.
When this, you know, I remember when it took 5 minutes to load a page of Expedia to find out what flight might be going, that it, by the time you get there, that flight isn't there anymore.
You know, I remember going to the travel agent. So, yeah. So tell me what would you say, you know, thinking about the audience listening and they're like, I think my thinking needs to be upgraded. So what would you say to them for how to do that?
My number one thing for everybody is to think back in your mind, what is the memory from you as a child that keeps popping up in your mind as a little bit of a thorn? There's something there that is the key to starting to unlock that thinking. And once you find it, and it'll be the thought that keeps coming back over and over and over again. For me, it was going to Foster's used bicycle store and picking out this beautiful little turquoise bicycle with white fenders and a basket, and my dad saying to me, we can't afford it. Well, I know now that was horse crap. They certainly could. But even 50 years later, I could still see that moment. And anytime, you know, things would kind of go off the things, it would keep coming back to me. That's the point you need to find. Mm. Don't force it. Just keep thinking about it.
Yeah. And so once you found it, once you found that thought that kept coming up from your past, that was in a way limiting your opportunities going forward. Maybe you had this money block thing where you thought, oh, I can never make money to afford the things that I want, like that bike. So I'm just guessing that was probably what was related to why it kept coming up. So
how did I go from there? Mm-hmm. So what I did from there, I kind of let the universe help me out a little bit there. That's where I follow my nudges a lot. But I knew that it was money related because all of the challenges that I had had in my life, if you dug down far enough, it had to do with something that I was doing that I didn't know that I was doing that was related to money. So I went, okay, well, it's pretty obvious when someone says we can't afford it, it's pretty obvious that it's money related. But it wasn't. So what I did is I just went and I started tracking anything that had to do with a memory related to money. And it blossomed into a list of about 125 different things but more often than not, it was on the negative side. And what that revealed was that throughout my life, I grew up in a family where there were hand-me-downs and things were used, all that type of stuff, is that I ended up telling myself a story that I was only good enough for someone else's leftovers. And I just lived into that story, including my ex-husband.
Mm. Wow.
Which sounds funny when people say, well, whatever, but everything was someone else's leftover.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you were his second wife, or?
No, I was his first wife, but he was his girlfriend when I was in university was my university roommate.
So she was his first choice, and you were the leftovers.
She was his first choice. They had a fight at his parents' house. I happened to be there with them. She walked out, told him he was an idiot, and we ended up dating and then getting married. It was a clear case of taking someone's leftovers.
Yeah.
It wasn't a choice or anything. But it went, it all went, every part of my life, it was like that. I can trace it back to getting a bag of nice clothes, but leftovers from my cousin. I just said this to my mom the other day. She says, I don't remember you getting any of Lynn's clothes. And I'm like, yeah, they used to come in plastic bags. And she said, she's not even the same size as you. And I went, exactly.
Aw, makes me sad for you.
I know, but it's a process you have to go through to find these things.
Yeah. So, going back to one of the things you talked about where you had this failure or this thing that you were afraid of, this failure that you had, and you talk about it in your first episode, how was that scary to like be vulnerable and get out there and talk about that? Because a lot of people just kind of like, you know, I love the way that a lot of people that inspire me are people who aren't afraid to share kind of their dirty laundry and what they learned from it. You know, one of the people I love following is Mel Robbins, and I love, she's one email I always open up, and it might've been something stupid that happened to her last week. You know, like she spilled jelly donut all over her shirt and blouse. And then she goes and says 5 lessons I learned from that, or, you know, and that's like a silly example, but some of the stuff is really powerful that she talks about. Some things that would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that she really said that she really was so open about, you know, what she did or what she was thinking, but it makes me more like her all the more. And so,
it is. So I guess I'll preface this with a trigger alert.
Okay.
For some people they're, it's just going to turn them right off. But I made a really, really, really bad decision. And I stole some money from my employer. And my parents knew, lawyers knew, and my employer knew. And I paid back every penny. We're not talking about a dollar here. We're talking about a little bit more than a dollar. But nobody else in the world knew. Mm. And I managed to rebuild my bounce back ability. I managed to rebuild a new career. I turned and went, became a travel agent. rebuilt a business career, but I was always, always afraid that I was one conversation away from someone saying, you know what she did? Mm. And everything collapsing. I wasn't able to, when I was working as a business consultant, I had all these contacts of people that I could point my clients to, but I couldn't point them to some of them for who were the right ones for fear that they might be able to link it up with someone that I might not know. No, this was 37 years ago, 27 years ago, mm-hmm. a very, very long time ago. So the internet wasn't like the internet. There were no charges. There was nothing like that. But I also made a decision that I wanted to wait until it wouldn't affect my parents or anybody else as badly, where my parents would get to the point where it really wouldn't matter. My parents are 88 and 89. And I knew that as soon as I opened up and started to talk about this, to show that I wasn't who I said I was, that I actually was flawed, that I could never close that box again. And so that's where the you remember I said I almost started the podcast a year ahead. I started to drip it. I started to drip little pieces of the story, how I knew. And then I went, okay, there's 3 episodes recorded. Of the one is the first, the whole story of how I unshackled my life, how I opened that up and I didn't die.
That makes so much more sense about why you titled it that way. It makes so much sense about the money stories that likely led to that action, you know, and unraveling it. And oh my gosh, I mean, some people could make that their life story and go to their deathbed with the secret and the fear of being found out. So I love how you talk about taking something as a lesson and making a better life from it and helping other people with that. That's amazing.
It's one of those things that if you look in the general public, in the world, let's call it in the world of criminal justice, if you're a drug addict and you come back and you rebuild your life and stuff, yay, kudos to you, way to go, that's great. Mm-hmm. If you do something that's crossing a financial line in the quote, quote, white collar space, you're branded in the same, with the same thinking as these guys that steal the millions and the billions and all that sort of, as greedy, evil, not good, and so on. So
yeah,
I actually do. I work with a white collar support group, helping people who are from that space actually learn more about what was going on at the dinner table, what words they heard, you know, what is their blue bicycle story?
Yes. Yes. It makes so much more sense now. And what's interesting is I think you would be less likely to repeat that than like a drug addict who would be tempted to go back into an addiction of sorts.
Well, most people in that field are. Anybody, it tends to be a one-off. It's not like a bank robber, and it tends to be accumulation of your life has gone so far sideways.
Wow.
For me, it was simply, and it goes back to this, you are not good enough. I was in a world where everybody had everything, and I just couldn't see a way to be able to do what I knew I was capable of without crossing that line.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how when you're in that mindset, money is so unavailable and sparse.
Yeah.
And then when you fix that, then that all those money problems, all of a sudden money starts, you know, being much more readily available. It's crazy.
That just happened to me yesterday. And this is what I work on with people, because I understand I've been through it yesterday. You know, there was something that should have come in, you know, an invoice that should have come in and it didn't come in. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a bit of a problem. And lo and behold, I did something else and took a different action, did something different. And the exact same amount of money came in from a whole different source. I know that's what's going to happen now, but that's not what I was thinking.
Yeah.
A year, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm so glad you've recovered, and you're inspiring other people by your story. So let's wrap up. And I love your answer that you told me about what living a not your average life means to you and how you exemplify it. So yeah, why don't you share that as we close?
Okay, so I use not your average life to me is what I call a rich life, and not rich in the terms of money, rich as in the richness, the fullness, and being willing to be the black sheep in your family. That's so important, because we're all individuals. So just own you and do you and be unapologetic for you. And yeah, your family might not believe. I have a family that doesn't believe that I'll ever be able to figure out the money things the way they think of it, but that doesn't matter. I know I will. So yeah, just follow your nudges.
Yeah.
Be you.
Embrace the black sheep.
Embrace
that you
the
are.
Black sheep.
Yes.
I love
yes.
that.
Embrace it. You said be okay with being the black sheep in the family, but like embrace it. Yeah. Yeah. So loved this. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you. And I saw your face a little bit as we were finishing up. I know you didn't expect that turn in the discussion, but I knew that if I didn't share that with you, you wouldn't understand why my podcast.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? It really made this episode. There were like a little bit of fog in, like, okay, like, oh, this money thing. Oh yeah. And then it's like, and then, oh, I tell the story in my podcast, which is totally fine. Cause I, you know, if people want to go over there and listen, I think that's great. But then it's like, oh my gosh, it makes total sense. And yeah. I loved that you were so open with it. And
that's what your life is. Your life is like a pinball game. It just, you're the ball and you keep getting bounced off the side. And sometimes you go down the thing and get shot back up, but you're always heading upwards.
Did my jaw go? I have to go back and see what my face looked like.
I'm pretty used to that, but you got a little bit pale, and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's in shock.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I mean, that's good. I mean, like, yeah, you're so true. You're so right when you say people like that is something that people want to hide. They don't want to say that, but that's 37 years ago. That's who you were then, and.
Yep.
I think, you know, it's probably built some stuff in you that a lot of people need and don't have.
Yep, exactly. I love this conversation. I love what you're doing. Thank you so very much for having me on, Lori.
Great, Debbie. Thanks.
Enjoy. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.